Morning, church.
I do want to thank my Lord and Savior for this opportunity to be here. It is a privilege and an honor. I want to thank Pastor Bob and the leadership of this church and thank this congregation for this time. I really do. It's a blessing. You know, I'm not up here to show you my new haircut.
How good I look in a suit.
No, make no bones about it. I'm up here for one reason. I'm a servant of the Lord and I love Jesus Christ with all my heart and soul. Really, and that's why I'm here today, folks. I'm not up here to talk about me, but I'm up here to talk about the love of Jesus through the Gideons International. What are the Gideons? I was in a church yesterday, and it was brought up, and a man said, I don't know what Bible they give. It's all mixed up, huh? You know, it's amazing. People just don't know, and that's what I'm here to inform us about. I'm going to tell you, we're not a cult. We're not a religion, okay? We're a ministry of God for God. Gideons are a group of Christian professional and businessmen with one common purpose. And that purpose is to win others to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? By personal witnessing. Placement of the scriptures in the hotels, motels, prisons, military bases, recruiting centers. Does this look familiar to anyone in their travels? It gets put in there one drawer at a time, one Gideon at a time. One blessing at a time, throughout the world, not only the county, throughout the world. And I'm here to tell you a little bit about it today. Also, some Gideon wives are active in the women's auxiliary, make scripture available to office personnel, like dentist offices and doctor's offices, places of that sort. Let me ask you, folks, is the Bible important? Let's hear what God has to say. We could dig out 100 scriptures, I'm sure. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we know as Christians, this is just a world of wisdom and knowledge revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Psalmist 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Tie that in with Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Faith by hearing the word of God. Let me read this in the front of this little Gideon Bible. I always say it's like poetry to my heart. Please listen carefully. This is the take on the Bible for the Gideon. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good the design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Amen. I can't read that over and over. Me chills. Okay, folks, let me ask you this. Is it important to place the Word of God? Let's establish that real quick. I spoke at a large church in Hemphill Township last week. The assistant pastor came out and gave a wonderful testimony of how God's Word, placed by the Gideons International, led him to salvation and eternal life, and in the position he is now, serving God's children through that ministry, pastoral ministry. The psalmist declares in chapter 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, we're told that when the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, God speaking says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen. And I'm going to tell some testimonies what God's done through his word and where he's taken it.
in my personal life, in our town right here. I'm going to share that. I'm going to tell you in Westmoreland County here, the Holy Spirit's at work through this ministry, Skidian Ministry. God has given us opportunity to personally place thousands upon thousands of these small Bibles we refer to as PWTs, Personal Witness Testaments. Just some examples, we gave out 980 to Christmas Parade in downtown Irwin. Hundreds at Pitt Campus, hundreds at Seton Hill College. We've done outreaches in Hemphill Park, Greensburg, Mount Pleasant, City of Manassas, Penn Township. Folks, we witnessed numerous salvations and miracles. Why? Are we so wonderful? Anything? No, absolutely not. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. We just donate a little bit of time, sacrifice a little bit of time, and show up and let God do the work. It's all Him. Mark 9:49 says, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." And then again, I just say, it's just spending that time to talk to someone, folks. Also, this summer, and for as many years as I've been a Gideon, the local high schools, the graduating classes of Belvern, Penn Trafford, Southmoreland, Manassas, and Jeanette all received testaments through the Gideon's International. Please pray for Norwood, Greensburg, Salem, and York for the doors to be open. Folks, you all know sooner or later these young adults just starting out in life are going to face trials and tribulations that life brings, but through Jesus, through support of churches like yours, these kids have the opportunity to open the cover to the most important book they could ever read in this life. We give them the opportunity through you to receive the love of Jesus and through God's grace, eternal life. Amen. Thank you. We did an outreach at the Westmoreland County Fair this past summer. The local Gideons pitched in and we got a booth for the week. And we took plenty of Bibles, and the Holy Spirit came with us. Folks, I want to tell you, a large group of people I personally talked to, most all people heard of Jesus. Some people believe there might be a God. Friends, I want to tell you, there's a whole bunch of people that never heard the good news. There's a whole lot of people out there that don't know the love of Jesus. There's a whole bunch of people that don't know Christ loved them so much He died on the cross for them. Then, there's some people who just plain deny His love. Or just plain deny it. I personally spent 2 days at the Gideon booth at the fairgrounds. The opportunities were so great to witness to people, but by the end of the day, both days, my voice was gone. I had no voice. I came over with Bonnie. My wife said, "Oh, how was your day? How'd it go?" There was nothing left to come out. Excitement was still there, but it was done. And I praise the Lord for that. I want to say this through the power of the Holy Spirit. God used my big mouth on 18 different occasions to lead individuals to Christ. 18 different people asked God for forgiveness, invited Christ into their heart and life. Thank you, Lord. Praise and glory to God. Okay. One particular time, a young lady came up to me and said, "I believe God's real, but I'm a lesbian and I don't hide it." She said, "I've been told I can never be a Christian or never go to church." I said, "Well, young lady, a sin is a sin is a sin in God's eyes." He says in Romans 3:23, we all fall short of His glory. That we're all sinners. I told her, we as people, we're always judging the magnitude of our sin. And God just looks at it and says, "Well, we're all a mess here. I'm going to make a way for you." Okay? Fact is, Christ died on the cross for my sins and your sins, even though they're different sins. He died on the cross for those sins. I explained this to this young lady. She responded by saying, "I believe that, but I'm not ready to give up my lifestyle." I said, "The Bible says Christ died on the cross for us while we were yet sinners." Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners. Take step one first. Ask for forgiveness of all your sins and invite Christ into your life. Oh, when she heard that, that sealed the deal between her and God. And folks, I want to tell you again, it's not us to change ourselves. It's the Spirit of God that changes us. We can't do it on our own. And, you know, I'm so glad I didn't have to be perfect or somewhat perfect or even sinless before I became a Christian or went to church. Amen? My goodness.
At the end of the day, we gave out 700 testaments. At the end of the week, the local Gideons gave out 1,700 testaments at the county fair. Praise the Lord. And I want to say this. Many prayer requests went up for the Lord and some praise and worship during that time. It was an awesome experience. Let me tell you, folks, it's not always a slam dunk. I can sit here and say, hey, God, use me for this. And bam, 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 harvest, 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 harvest. People getting saved. I can give you hundreds and hundreds of stories like that. Today I'm going to show you a little bit of the other end. I met a man in Harrison City whose wife just died. I said, hey, do you know Jesus? He said, nah, we weren't into religion. I said, me neither. And I proceeded to tell him the relationship he could have, the loving relationship he could have with Christ. And he said, well, yeah, that's good. But like I said, I ain't into religion. He went on to say that he takes care of his son's 400 pounds and autistic. He went on to say that he personally was diabetic. His circulation was bad. And his legs swell up so bad they hurt him so bad he could hardly walk. I said, sir, tell me, how do you do it without God? I don't have nearly any of the problems you have. And I need Christ every day. I was genuinely curious. I said, how do you do it, sir? He said, well, he looked at me and said, like I said, I ain't into religion. So as a contractor, we discussed the business at hand, and I was getting ready to leave. And he looked at me and he says, hey, when you're praying later, if you want, you can say a little prayer for my leg. I said, yes, sir, we'll do. So I walked out of my truck and I was thinking, now, I can pray for this guy's legs. There's no doubt that God could honor that prayer and heal his legs. But what good would it do to heal that man's legs if those legs were going to walk him right to hell, separated from God for eternity, right? Oh, friends, I prayed for him. I prayed for step one, that he would come to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. Lord, send another Christian. Lord, send another messenger. Lord, if it be your will, heal his legs, Lord. Lord, do it in a way that he can't deny your power and your grace, Father God. Yeah. Gideons are about step one, folks. Step one. Sometimes the soil has to be tilled, right? These seeds have to be planted before there's a harvest. We're in this together, folks. We're all called to be gardeners in that field called the kingdom of heaven. Amen? I do want to say this scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:8-9. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We don't all need a fancy little Gideon pin or whatever. We're all working together. We're in this together for the kingdom of God. You know, it's not always easy. Sometimes there's powers working against you. I was working for a man just down the road here on a Dale Drive off of Carruthers Lane. 2 miles from here, maybe. I stopped by to check on the employees and see how the job was going. The homeowner was out sitting on a lawn chair and watching the work. I started talking to him and was sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. He listened a little bit, and he says, you should be talking to my wife. She don't even believe in God. At least I believe there's something. I said, sir, today's your day. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. He went on to say, you know, you're the third contractor this week that told me about Jesus. My wife's the one that needs it more than I do. He said, there was that roofer, that carpet guy, and now you. I said, God's reaching out to you, sir. Today's your day. I grabbed a couple of these PWT Bibles that I have in the truck, and I started reading the salvation scriptures in the back. And I even told him, I said, look, if and when we go to pray to receive Christ, there's going to be interruptions. There usually always is. And I told him a couple testimonies, okay? And lo and behold, as I'm explaining, we're getting ready, he stopped me and says, hey, you know that one contractor? He was a Christian. And he said he was coming back to do the job. He said he never showed up or called, and I called him, and he didn't call me back. What's up with that? I said, sir. I said, God is up here. I said, we are right here. I held out two hands. I said, you got people messed up who don't know Jesus. I said, you got people messed up that know Jesus. Which one do you want to be? And I showed him Romans 3:23 again. Okay, that we all fall short of the glory of God. He says, okay, I'm ready. We went to pray and the door opened up and boom, this lady popped out. We're right beside the door. She looked down at me. She looked at that Bible in my hand. She said, oh, one of them. And I looked up and said, yes, ma'am. Then she went back in. We went to pray again. And the door flies open and the dog takes off. Homeowner says, whoa, we got to get him. So after about 15 minutes of coaxing and begging and getting his dog back in, we get this dog back in the house. Now, with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, I got to reel this guy back in and soften his heart to where he's genuinely ready to repent of his sins before God. We go to pray again. Now a motorcycle pulls down the driveway into the yard right beside us. The bike turns off. A guy gets off and says, hey, what's up, Dad? What trees you taking out? I'm like, okay. I says, look, I really got to go. You don't need me as a witness. Spend some time with God tonight. I left and prayed real hard for him. The next day I stopped by to get paid. He said, hey, Nelson, I did talk to God last night, and I did ask for forgiveness and invite him into my heart. Thanks for that little Bible. I started reading that. He says, my wife's the one that really needs it. I says, we'll pray for her. We'll pray for her. Step one, friends, that's what the Gideon ministry is all about. Introducing Christ to people who don't know him. Dead men walking. Men, women, boys, girls, separated from God's love for eternity. That's sad. That's very sad. That breaks my heart. Receiving Christ is step one. I know I'm preaching to the choir here for most of all of us and hopefully all of us here. But the truth is there are some people in some churches every week trying to take step two, three, four, five, but have never taken step one. They're trying to change things on their own power, maybe by a prayer someone else sends up to God for them. They haven't really repented of their sins or told God sorry. Confessing to God their sin and realizing the magnitude of God's righteousness, that there has to be punishment for those sins. Then coming to terms in the realization of the overwhelming love that Christ has for us by taking that punishment for us, by shedding His blood on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. When we invite Christ into our heart and lives, now it's the Holy Spirit that changes us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's Him that empowers us to take step two after step one. Okay, it could be obvious. It could be obvious sin. Obvious is ridding your body from drugs or alcohol or pornography in life. Maybe it's not so obvious sin of verbal abuse to your wife or anger or pride issues. Okay? The point is, once you've been delivered and received Christ, He's going to show you step two. He's going to reveal a sin in your life. He's going to show you step three, step four, step five, and so on. He keeps you moving as long as you're walking with Him. And if I had to guess, I'm on about step 1,034. And a half. But anyhow, the point is, what's important is walk with God. Hold hands. Let Him guide you, friends. Look, God has taken me from a sinful lifestyle, but guess what? We're all capable of sin. It's this thing called flesh, compounded by the fact we're living in a fallen world. Amen? God says the righteous man's footsteps are ordered by the Lord. We can only become righteous in God's eyes by faith in Him and obedience in Him. Remember one of our opening verses, Ephesians 2:8. By God's grace, through faith we're saved. Walk with God. Follow His word. Let Him guide you. It all starts with Him. Gideon ministry, leading others to Christ. Let me share some more step one testimonies with you, friends. This one starts out slow, but bear with me. Bob, I'm going to try to stay in my pulpit area. The first service, I got excited and almost took off out in the snow there. I was looking to buy another truck for my business, and I was online with my wife looking at particular trucks. We found one. The problem was this truck was clear up in Allentown, PA, and that's quite a distance. So I called the guy and said I was interested, but I said, I can't take a whole day off work to go look at this truck. It's my busy season. It would cost me way too much to take a day to go. He said, no problem. He said, for $500, he said, I'll bring that truck down to you. If you like it, we'll leave the truck with you and take the $500 off the price of the truck. He said, the guy bringing the truck's going to tow a little small pickup truck behind him. That way, if you want the truck, he can drive home with it. He said, if you don't want it, I got to charge you the $500 for fuel and to pay this guy. I said, well, you know, that sounds fair. So we arranged for a 1 o'clock meeting the next day. So 1 o'clock came, no man. 2 o'clock, I called and said, hey, where's your guy? He said, well, he should be there. 3 o'clock came, no truck. 4 o'clock came, I called him again. I said, look, the whole idea was my time is precious this time of year. I said, where's your man? He said, well, we don't know. We're a little worried. How about call us when he gets there? As soon as I hung up, my phone rang. Now, bear with me, folks. Bear with me. The guy says, hey, I'm over to BP with your truck. I said, don't move. I said, I'll be right there. So I jumped on my motorcycle, zinged over to BP to meet him. There's a big truck sitting there, a little truck hooked to it, just like the man said. I'm looking around. I don't see anyone. Boom, door opens. There's this man with tattoos on every speck of his skin from head to toe. He had a chain so thick on his neck, if he fell in the neighbor's swimming pool, we'd have to pull him out by his toes. Okay? I'm just giving a visual here. Just giving a visual. Okay? So I says, come on over. We'll go to my garage, unhook this little truck. We're going to ride up to my mechanics and have them look this truck over. This was a used truck, so I wasn't going to write a check unless I made sure my mechanic gave me the thumbs up. So we started up, and we're talking about motorcycles. Said, oh, I got a motorcycle, and we're bonding a little bit on that issue. And then he looks at me and says, hey, I'm a professional arm wrestler. And I says, really? I says, oh, I've been national champ and ranked fifth in the world. And we started bonding on that. I'm not telling that story to brag or anything. That's only by God's grace, too. Okay? But I'm telling that story. Is God, what's the chances of that? Slim to none. God, this is how God works in our lives, everybody's lives. So we're bonding on this arm wrestling thing. He knew, I never saw him before, but he knew different arm wrestlers, this and that. And, you know, we were bonding on that issue. So my mechanic gave me the thumbs up. So we're headed back, and here's where it gets interesting. I said, man, where were you? You were hours and hours late. He says, well, I got a speeding ticket. Then I lost my turnpike ticket. So I pulled over and ate lunch and took a nap. So I figured out what I could do. He says, I don't even do this. He says, I empty garbage cans and kind of sweep up around the garage. They coaxed me into doing this because the other guy called off sick. I says, it's tough getting good employees. There's a lot of drinking and drugs taking place these days. He said, well, I don't do drugs or alcohol. He says, I look for young ladies on drugs or alcohol. I said, what? He said, oh, yeah. You don't want to know. I said, hey, dude, what's the big deal? You're from Allentown. I said, that's pretty far. He said, yeah, I'm into orgies, man. I look for young ladies on drugs and alcohol or try to get them on drugs or alcohol. I looked at him. I says, wow, dude. I says, you can be forgiven of those sins. Bam, it just started flowing. I told him my lifestyle wasn't into those similar things, but drugs and alcohol. Yeah, 35 years ago, that was my game. And I told him some of the stories. I said, man, you can be forgiven. You can be freed from that. You can be this. We pulled in up by my garage. I'm sorry, Bob, there goes my notes. We pulled in up by my garage. The man looked at me, got in my face. He said, you ever hear of the Wiccans, dude? I hate God. And I got in his face, and I said, I'm a warrior for Christ. And it was on. And I hit this man so hard with the love of Jesus. Not physical. Okay? I said that the first service, everyone went. I hit him with the love of Jesus so hard, I told him how much Christ loved him. Well, this man, we sit out there as we're talking. We say, yeah. And then all of a sudden he comes like this, like he's listening to someone say, oh, I can never be forgiven. I've done so much against God. I said, come on in the garage. Now, in the garage is a mini church. We have Bible studies there. That's where the Gideon stored her Bibles. We have anywhere from 500 to 2,500 Bibles in there at any given time. So I figured I could give them some home field advantage, if you know what I mean. Get them in the home game there. So anyhow, I'm telling this man about Jesus. This man, friend, he teared up and he says, "Wow, now I know why I'm here today. Now I know why I'm here. Whole ways here, I'm thinking, why am I driving this truck? Why am I here? Now I know why I'm here." And then he'd go, "Oh, I've done so much against Christ, I could never be forgiven." When I started talking to him, referring to him as a third party or whatever, I said, "Listen, don't listen to them." I said, "It's written. They're going to hell and they're trying to take you with them." Okay? When I told him that, I'm going to tell you, friends, this man's facing the wall this way. I'm on the other side of him. This man's eyes glazed up. His head cocked. It's like he was propped up with a broomstick. Now, I don't watch all those goofy movies or anything. Okay, I stay far, far away from them. Now these demons start talking to me, okay, in a deep, raspy voice. They said, "Warrior for Christ. Warrior for Christ. We heard of you." And now they start mocking a situation I was in the week before they were aware of. Well, I'm not going to stand this. I went over and I started signing the papers. And they're going on, and they're telling me how I'm going to die a painful and torturous death. And the only thing I thought of was John 4:4. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And without thinking, I jumped up and I went around to this way and got in their face. I said, "You can't kill me. You can take me from here, but I got eternal life through Jesus Christ." And when I said Jesus Christ, this man, as fast as he glazed over, came back and he's facing me, standing straight. And I immediately went into the witness, grabbed two Gideon Bibles, give him one, me one, going over the scriptures in the back. Okay? He says, "I want that. I want that." I said, "Okay, let's pray." I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "You believe you're a sinner?" "Yes." "You believe Jesus Christ died for your sins?" "Yes." "You believe he rose again the third day?" "Yes." I want to make sure these demons weren't buffaloing me. I said, "Okay, let's pray." Led the man to receive Jesus. When he said amen, okay, he started turning red. Not pink, not blush. I noticed his face first and boom, turning red. This red. Red is a stop sign. I looked down at his hand. It was the same color. Now his head starts expanding to the point where his nose disappeared. His ears were distorted. And I actually went like this. Knee, hand, and everything. Okay? The man starts shaking profusely. Falls down on the couch. And as fast as he inflated, he deflated. Right color, right everything. The only difference was he's breathing like he just ran a marathon. Okay? Without thinking, I didn't see anything leave him. I didn't see Casper waving or anything like that. You get me? But without even thinking, I said, "This is holy ground. You demons be going from here, this property, be going to a dry place in the name of Jesus." Okay? Just then I hear on the door, it's Pastor Isaac from Kenya. I said, "Come on in, come on in, please, come on in." I said, "Pastor Isaac," I said, "this man just received Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I witnessed demons leaving him." He said, "Oh, very good." He said a nice, beautiful, spirit-led prayer over this man. Okay? I'm going back to my spot. Says this beautiful prayer. So now the man opens the Gideon Bible. He says, "Wow, look. He says, "Look, the first thing I read, Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but powers and rulers of darkness." And he had a long talk with Pastor Isaac about the cult that he was in. Pastor Isaac was familiar with this other cult. It was from Kenya. He says it's very popular in Kenya, this cult. And that man, work called again, said, "Where's he at?" I said, "He's leaving." I said, "Sir, you got to go now." He grabbed that Gideon Bible with two hands in his pocket. He walked out with both hands on that Bible. He turned around and he stuttered and he said, I love Jesus." And he got in that truck and drove off, friends. The power of step one, receiving Christ, Listen, I didn't expel those demons. When he received Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit entered him and those demons got an immediate eviction notice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. A couple of us did the placement of Bibles in the motels. Again, this is not a glamorous job, but consists of prayer and labor. Not all motel owners and managers are willing to give you the keys to the rooms or walk around with you all morning. That's why we pray and rely on God to open the doors. Right, Jeff? Jeff Beatty, one of your owners, to get in here. Active member in this area. Let me tell you, Scripture placement by Gideon's takes place in 193 countries around the world. You're probably thinking, boy, you and Jeff are busy, huh? You must be jumping a lot of planes and things. No, actually, there's 290,000 Gideons worldwide distributing God's Word in 93 different languages. Okay? Little note I put here, that's why I got to look sideways. 79 million copies annually. That's two copies every second, every day. Check that, Shelly. I didn't do the math on that. So if that's two copies every second. That's amazing to me. God has called men around the world to be Gideons in countries I can't even pronounce the name of. This is how I realize God calls His servants where He wants them and when He wants them. Praise the Lord. One way we have of distributing Bibles internationally is through what we call an Extension Action Program. This is a program by Gideons Pay Their Own Way to go to these countries the 7 to 14 days to help the local Gideons distribute Bibles. We're going to do a Bible Blitz in the Pittsburgh area that includes Westmoreland County here in the fall. We're meeting on that now. We'll have Gideons come in from other states, from Philadelphia, from New York, to help us saturate this area of Pittsburgh here. Every hotel, motel, doctor's offices. Because there's really only, Jeff, what, about five active in Westmoreland County here? Don't get me wrong, God gets her done with a handful. Okay, God gets it done. I'm not complaining. Matthew 9:37-38 says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." If the Holy Spirit's tugging anybody's heart here, see me, see Jeff Beatty, see Pastor Bob, pray about it. Pray about it. We pay $40 a year dues. That money goes to international, to full-time employees who have to ship these Bibles, order these Bibles, get these Bibles throughout the world. That has to be done full-time. We pay for that as Gideon members. We pay for that. A while back, I told this the last time I was here, I know. But a while back, I met a man on Barnes Lake Road here. That's why I'm telling this story again. And the Gideons came off the word Gideon. Told him I was a Gideon. He kind of grabbed me by a collar. He said, listen to me. So I want to tell you something. He says, when I was young and dumb, and I'm not calling young people dumb, there's a whole lot of young people smarter than me, okay? But he said, I was young and dumb. He said, I had a girlfriend. And I thought I loved her so much, I could never live without her. He says, in that time of my life, I smoked weed and I drank. He says, and this girl dumped me like that. Like that. He said, I thought life was over. I thought it was over. He says, I took a gun. He said, I didn't want any of my family to find me home. I got a motel room. He says, I took beer and I took weed. He says, I got to the point where I was ready to end it. He says, I reached over the dresser for that gun. He says, my hand fell on that Gideon Bible. He says, it come to me. He says, I opened it. He said, the Lord ministered to me. And he looked me in the eyes with a tear going down. He says, I want to tell you, I got three kids. He says, I'm active in my church with three children. And I said, well, praise the Lord. That's the power of God's Word, my friend. We don't know what God's going to do with it. Remember Isaiah 55:11? My word will not return to me void. Will not return to me void. And that's a perfect example. And there's hundreds of stories similar to that. But that one I experienced myself right here, a half mile down the road. How else can we be involved in this ministry? We have the Bible Memorial Program. That when someone loses a loved one, a sympathy card is sent with the purchase of Bible. I believe we have a card wrapped out there, Bob, I believe. It's on the honor system. You pick a beautiful card. You send it to a loved one. Send a little donation to the Gideons. Okay? We have occasion cards now for birthdays, anniversaries. Okay? I want to share this real quick. We're winding down. I heard this from a radio minister on the radio last week. He was speaking about giving. He said a homeless man came to town. He said it was very, very cold that weekend. He said he was wandering around town lost and didn't know where to go because this town was new to him. He said a lady at the red light almost stopped and gave him $10 for a hot meal, but the light changed. He said a man almost stopped and gave him directions to the shelter, but his cell phone rang and he got distracted. He said another lady almost stopped and gave him a blanket, but she looked at that blanket and thought, wow, that's a really nice blanket. I don't even know that guy. That man perished that weekend because numerous people almost gave. Friends, there are people outside these walls perishing, leaving life as we know it, separated from God. There are people perishing everywhere. Yeah, we ask for your financial support. We don't do hoagie sales. We don't wish cards. Nothing wrong with that. This is a 100-year-old ministry. I'm just telling you how God does it through us, through you, through church speaking like this. Okay? It's God providing for His ministry through His people. Okay? We ask for your financial support. All 100% of your money goes to the purchase of God's holy word. Cash or check is accepted to Gideon's International, my friends. This is between you and God. Brothers and sisters, let me be frank. When you're giving money to the Gideons, you're not giving to me. You're not giving to a person. You're putting God's word in the hands of the lost for God's kingdom. In closing, remember this. Through the funds you provide, we go to the prisons. We go to the campuses and schools. We go to the lost around the world. The Gideons are the extended hands to your arms. You're the arms of God's body. Together we're the full body of Christ reaching the lost for His glory and His kingdom. Amen. May the Lord richly bless this church, this congregation, His leaders, and Pastor Baldwin. And I thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you.